Please get a Bible, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians. I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 1, and I strongly encourage you to get a Bible because it's going to be, I have more scriptures on my heart than normal this morning, and it will be a great advantage if you'll follow in God's Word as we try to study. The subject that's on my heart today is the subject of grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace. As you study the Word of God, you'll find that there is a clear division in two different categories of grace. One is saving grace, that is the grace of God that has resulted in us being saved from our sins. Our eternal salvation is not based on our works or our obedience or our faithfulness to God, but we're saved because of what God did in sending His only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. And we're not worthy of even the least of God's blessings. We were not worthy to be saved from our sins. It's because of the amazing grace of God that we've been saved from our sins. That's saving grace. And then the second category, and really most of the time the Bible is talking about grace, it's not talking about saving grace, but rather it's talking about serving grace. Now, serving grace is the grace that God gives us to be able to serve Him, to obey Him, to follow Him, to do what His Word says. Jesus says, without me, what?
Nothing.
Without me, ye can do nothing. So we need the grace of God. We need the help of God. We need the strength of God. If we were just now in our singing, if we were worshiping God, if we were really worshiping God, we didn't do it by ourselves. It took the grace of God for us to concentrate and to think about God while we were singing. It took the grace of God for us to be able to sing. It took the grace of God for us to feel a desire to worship God. It took the grace of God for us to even be here today. Everything about our service to God that's right and good, it's by the grace of God that we do that. That's the serving grace of God. God gives us the strength, the power to be able to serve Him, and that's the grace of God, serving grace of God. You will now look in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 1. I want to spend a few minutes just touching on and looking briefly at what God's Word says about the saving grace of God. Then I want us to concentrate on the serving grace of God. Brethren, one of the most wonderful things in the world that we can ever think about, one of the primary things as we're thinking about thanksgiving, one of the great blessings that we have and that we know about and that we understand something about is the grace of God. And we need to be thanking God for His saving grace. And we also need to be thanking God for His serving grace. We need to be thanking God for His amazing grace. That songwriter that wrote those words, amazing grace, if you go home and read and study that, he's talking about the saving grace of God. And then he's talking about the serving grace of God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If I understand anything about what I really am, if I understand that I am a sinner, and I understand that I could not deliver myself from that sinful condition, if I understand it took the power of God to deliver me from that sinful condition, that I was dead in trespasses and sin, not sick, and God reached His hand out and I got hold of His hand. Rather, than I was dead in trespasses and sins, and God came to me and quickened me and lifted me up. He brought us up out of a miry pit. He brought us up out of the mire and the filth and the sin. God lifted us up. And we need to be thanking God because it was only because of God's grace that He did that for us in saving us from our sins. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints of God at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Please follow the three or four verses that we'll look at right here. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. The Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace." You hear the wording there? All that he just described, it's to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, that is God, hath made us accepted in the beloved. So it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now listen to verse 7. In whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. All that he does is to the praise of the glory of his grace. We need to understand that we are saved by grace. The next chapter, chapter 2, talks much more about us being saved by grace, not of our works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace. God, look at just one verse in Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to verses, well, let me read 2 or 3. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 4, the Word of God says, "But God," after he described in Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3, described the sinful condition that we were in and that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 4 says, "But God." And did you know that if it weren't for God, you would have been left right there. You couldn't get yourself out of that condition. "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved." And then, of course, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Brethren, we could just go to scripture after scripture looking at the amazing grace of God, and all of us need to be praising God for the glory of his grace that has saved us from our sins. Sometimes we think we deserve blessings from God, but what we really deserve is eternal hell. And if it weren't for God's amazing grace, we would spend eternity in hell. So we need to praise God for his saving grace, that he has saved us from our sins. I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians. I want us to spend most of the rest of the morning in 1 Corinthians. Sometimes it's easier to look at what God's Word says about a subject, just to take one book of the Bible and just study that book. And I pray that God will help us this morning as we begin to look now, not at the saving grace of God that has delivered us from eternal hell, not at the saving grace of God that resulted in Christ coming and dying on the cross of Calvary, but now I want us to turn and look at what God's Word has to say about the serving grace that God gives us that enables us to worship him, to love him, to praise him, to obey him, to follow him. All that we do that's right and good, it's all because God gives us the grace to serve him. Isn't that amazing? It's God that saved us by his grace. And then it's God that gives us the strength and the power to serve him by his grace. Philippians chapter 2. I'm fixing to read here from 1 Corinthians, but I just want to mention Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know the only reason, if you're here because you love God this morning, you love him because he what? He first loved you. If you're here today because you want to worship God, It's by the grace of God that you've come today. And when you leave here, we come to worship and we depart to serve. And let me say, first of all, I want everybody to be sure you're serving at home. Because if you're not worshiping God and serving God at home, you're missing the mark. You must begin at home. You must begin serving God at home. Husbands, love your wives. You know what it takes for you to love your wife? Grace. You know what it takes for her to love you? More grace. That was good, Brother David. It takes the grace of God. You can't love without God helping you to love. God's given you grace. He's given you love. He's put it in you. And you have the power to love, and you have the power to serve, and you have the power to obey, because God put that grace in you. He gave you that power. And you need to exercise that power and use the grace to His honor and glory. Listen now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're beginning now to look not at the saving grace now, but at the serving grace. That power, the grace that God gives us to do what He tells us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to spend most of the rest of the time right here in 1 and 2 Corinthians. So just follow in your Bibles, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to verses 9 and 10. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 says, "For we are," what's the next word there? We are what?
Laborers.
Laborers. You ever seen a lazy Christian? Did you know there's no such thing really as a lazy Christian? And the reason we think they're lazy Christians is because we don't know what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is not somebody who just believes in Jesus. A Christian is somebody that's trying to follow Jesus. A Christian is not a lazy person. If you're lazy, you're not a Christian. Just mark that down. Write it down. If you're lazy, you're not a Christian. Laborers. We are what? We are laborers. What do you want your children to be when they grow up? I want them to be a laborer. Now, I want them to get a good education. I want them to have a good job. But I want them to be a laborer. I want them to be a worker. And whatever job they have, I want them to be the best employee that there is. And whatever we're doing in our service to God, we need to be laboring. We are laborers together with God. Now, who is it that's helping us while we're doing all this laboring? Whether you consider your job or whether you consider your parenting and being all of your home life skills and everything else you're doing, whatever you're doing, you're laborers together with God. That's what Jesus is talking about when He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Isn't it good to be yoked together with Christ? That's what enables us to keep going. You know what I would do if it weren't for God's grace? You know what I would do if it weren't for God's strength? I would collapse. I would fall down. I would quit. I would go the other way. I would run if it weren't for the grace of God. And that's what you would do if it weren't for the grace of God. God gives you the power to stick with it. God gives you the power to go on. God gives you the power to be laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building according to the what? According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. How is it that Paul was a laborer? How is it that you are a laborer? God gave you the grace to labor. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Go forward in your Bibles just a moment. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, what does Paul say he is in 1 Corinthians 3? What does he say we are? We are what? Laborers, workers. Now, how is it you're able to do all this work that pleases God? Now, you can do a lot of works that don't please God, and that doesn't take grace. All that takes is the flesh, and you can displease God in the flesh. But if you're going to please God, if you're going to serve God, if you're going to obey God, if you're going to follow Christ, it takes grace to do that. 1 Corinthians 15, listen please to verses 9 and 10. The Word of God says, "For I am the least." Do you think Paul really felt that, or do you think he was just saying, "I am the least of the apostles"? I think he felt it with all his heart. He said, I am the least of all the apostles. He makes another statement that I think clarifies even more how wretched he felt when he says, I am the chief of sinners. I'm the least apostle, and I'm the chief of sinners. Now, when you feel that you are the chief of sinners, that's when grace is going to get pretty to you. That's when you're going to thank God for grace, is when you realize what a sinner you are. You're going to be, praise God for His amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, and how wonderful it is that God, by His grace, has given me grace to serve Him, to labor with Him. So verse 9 says, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You hear that? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Anything you have ever done that's good and right, anytime you have ever been pleasing to God, it's because of God's grace that you've done that. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, I'm the chief of sinners, but God made a difference in my life. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am in His grace. He's going to mention grace. He knew a little about grace, didn't he? He knew a lot about grace. He was thankful for grace. He was thankful for saving grace, but he was also thankful for serving grace. And so he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Let me ask you this question. Has God ever given you grace to do something and you didn't do it? Has God ever given you grace to go visit and you didn't visit? Has God ever given you grace to have devotionals with your family at home, but you didn't do it? Has God ever given you grace to come to the house of God, but you didn't come? Has God ever given you grace to serve Him? Has God ever given you grace to stand up for what's right, and you didn't do it? Has God ever given you grace to be a good parent, but you weren't as good a parent as you ought to be? Has God ever given you the grace to be a good child, and you weren't as good a child as you ought to be? That's receiving the grace of God in vain. He gave it to you. You had the power. You had the ability. But you received the grace of God in vain. What Paul says, by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Isn't that wonderful? And he wasn't just bragging there. You watch him. But I labored. He did what? What's he say in 1 Corinthians 3? We are what? We're laborers. Let me tell you something, brethren. Some of you are the best laborers in God's kingdom that I have ever seen in my life. I rejoice to see people that are laboring in God's kingdom. They're laborers together with God. How are they such good laborers? By the grace of God. And they'll tell you, anybody that's really a good laborer, anybody that's really serving God, they'll be quick to acknowledge, as Paul was, oh, it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. It's by the grace of God that I'm not still what I was. It's by the grace of God that I'm where I am today. I'm talking about any good way that I am. It's by the grace of God I'm here. And he says, His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. In other words, he starts talking about how wonderful a laborer he was. He says, it's by the grace of God I did all that laboring. And then he says, but it wasn't me that did it. It was the grace of God in me. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just turn one page. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen, please, to verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 12. The Word of God says, for our rejoicing... Do you think I rejoice when I see the grace of God abounding in your life? Do you rejoice, parents, listen carefully. Do you rejoice when you see the grace of God working in the lives of your children? Do you rejoice when you can see and know God's working with my child? You need to praise the Lord for His grace in blessing them. And if they've received the grace of God and they're not using it, and you're not helping to motivate that, shame on you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. He's saying, everything I've done is by the grace of God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 6. Listen to one more verse here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, I want us to understand, I'm going to say that probably, I'm going to reverse, I'm going to say that possibly, there are more times that we receive the grace of God in vain than we do what God enables us to do by His grace. I think that we need to examine our lives. You know, I mentioned this in Bible study. The Word of God is a mirror for me to look into. The Word of God's a mirror for me to look into, to look at myself. You know how the devil wants you to take the Word of God? He wants you to take it and use it like a magnifying glass. Oh, man, I see you. Oh, yeah, I see you. I see what's wrong with you. See what's wrong with you. The Bible is not a magnifying glass for you to spend all your time looking at others. The Bible is a mirror for you to examine yourself. Don't be putting everybody under a telescope and say, oh, I know who the preacher was talking about this morning. I tell you who I'm talking about more than anybody else is me. My shortcomings, my failures. Me often being given the grace to do what's right and receiving the grace of God in vain. Have you ever done that? Receive the grace. God gave you the grace. He gave you the power. He gave you the strength. But you didn't do what you know you ought to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, he says, we then as, he doesn't use the word labor here. He gets to the second letter. He's going to change the wording. God inspired this now. And he says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. He gave it to you. Don't waste it. You remember the one talent servant that God gave him that talent and he buried that talent and he didn't use it? You remember he was cast into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth? Brethren, we need to be careful about the grace that God's given us. We need to use that grace to his honor and glory. We need to be workers. We need to be laborers together with him. Now, sometimes when we have troubles and problems in our lives, do you know anybody that ever has any trouble? And sometimes when you have trouble in your life, sometimes you just think, I don't know if I can stand this or not. But by yourself, I would say most of the time, you cannot face the problems of this world. I know people right now, they're having family trouble. Without the grace of God, they can't face that family trouble. People that are having financial trouble, people that are having trouble at work that feel like, I can't go one more day. People that have sickness that think, I don't think I can stand one more pain, one more day of this pain. People that feel like, I just can't go on. You know what Jesus told the Apostle Paul, who writes more about grace than anybody does? The Apostle Paul, when he had a thorn in the flesh, and he wanted God to take it away, and God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, look at verse 9. After the Apostle Paul has begged God and besought the Lord, he besought the Lord that it might depart from him, that thorn in the flesh. Verse 9 says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, and he, that is Jesus, said unto me, to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, brethren, God's grace was sufficient for Paul, and God's grace is sufficient for you. Please don't ever say you can't keep going or you can't do it. Or by yourself, you can't keep going, and by yourself, you can't do what God's called on you to do. But by the grace of God, you can. Because God's grace is sufficient for us. God's grace was sufficient for Stephen, while he was being stoned to death, God's grace held him up. It was the grace of God that he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he saw the Son of Man standing on the right hand of the Father. It was the grace of God that enabled Stephen to pray for those people who were stoning him to death. It was the grace of God that enabled Jesus to lay down his life for me and you. The grace, the amazing grace of God. The Word of God says, and this is the last thing Peter ever wrote, in 2 Peter 3:18, he says, but grow in grace. You see, God gives you grace. And as you use that grace, it's a lot like muscles. I started to say I wanted somebody to come down front that's got a lot of muscles. And you know how they got those muscles? They were born with the muscles. They were born with those muscles, but you know how muscles develop? They develop from using them, from working, from laboring. And people that don't have a job where they work and labor, they still can work out with weights and do other things, but I would encourage you to do something worthwhile and get out and work and labor. Don't just spin your wheels. Work, labor. And when you work and labor, your muscles get stronger. And when you're laboring your service to God and you're working to God's honor and glory, your grace grows. And so Peter says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To the humble, you know what James says? To the humble, God gives what? What did Brother David say his wife needed to put up with him? More grace. Great grace. In Acts chapter 5, the Word of God says, great grace was upon them all. The Bible is just very, very clear about how important it is for us to be praising God and thanking God for His saving grace. But it's also very clear about the importance of me understanding God's given me grace to serve Him. I want to say to each of you, I pray that God will help me and help you not to receive that grace of God in vain, but to use that grace to exercise, to work, and to labor and do things that would please God. And always remember when you do those things that you don't have any reason to boast. Always remember that you have to honestly, truthfully say, it's by the grace of God I've ever done anything that pleased Him and honored Him. May God help us to praise Him for His grace is my prayer for Christ's sake.